This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
When it becomes real hacking, we've talked a lot about cyber crimes on this show. Some thoughts about that coming up. And how about the Senate failing to advance this sweeping voting rights bill? Kate Delaney, thanks so much for hanging with us. The red carpet is yours, my friends. Walk on in. Whether you're here for the first time or you've been here hundreds of times, like Big Al. Thanks for that, Big Al, who's listening to us in New Orleans. Oh, the Big Easy. Oh, sounds good to go down there right now. I've been seeing the commercials that everybody is welcome. Indeed, with that great jazz, etc. All right, back on to the Senate. They weren't thinking about jazz or visiting New Orleans or any of that. They were knee-deep in arguing about, what else, elections. It's called the For the People Act, the Democrats' big baby. They say it's necessary because Republican-led states have introduced a slew of new voting restrictions they don't like, that they fear will suppress the vote for marginalized groups and make it harder to vote overall. So in this For the People Act that hit the floor but never got debated, it didn't advance. 50-50, so not the 60 needed in the Senate to overcome a Republican filibuster. And, you know, Democratic senators voted to begin the debate. Republicans said, not so fast. I got a dinner date. I'm out of here. The legislation, some of what they put in it was expanding early voting, allowing for same-day registration. There's always arguments about that. And more importantly, the federal government running elections, having more control over the elections, for lack of a better way to describe it. So the Republicans said, no thanks. We don't want the debate. That's it. We're done with this. And it's not happening. And we're seeing that election laws from county to county and state to state, of course, a lot of that is being unearthed and talked about, you know, et cetera. And what's the best thing for this country? Fair and free elections, right? Let's start with the basic premise. And how can we get it right? If the feds want to do something, make it a national holiday. I think it should be a national holiday. We have 11 now with Juneteenth. Why can't we add a 12th? Make it Election Day. Will it encourage more people to vote on the day? I don't know for sure. I think it could. I like my chances at the craps table with you, my fellow Americans, and the fact that you may go and vote, but I think it should be a national holiday. Let's stress voting and figuring it out way ahead of time, knowing the candidates, knowing the issues, and being well-armed when you go to vote, if you go to vote. That's, to me, the biggest problem is the apathy is so awful. And is it because you feel discouraged? Discouraged about the elections, feeling like it's, you know, it's too hard to vote, or the line, it's too much of a hassle. You heard the lines were long. Oh, you can't get it together to do the early voting. Ah, oh, jeez. All you got to do is go to a country where they shoot at you and force people to stuff ballots into a box for their candidate, and that cures that. In my book, Do Your Own Destiny, I talk about that, being shot at. In Mexico, I think I was 22 years old, because I could speak a little bit of Spanish, Channel 9, KTSM, sent me down with a photographer, Richard Cortez, and I was interviewing people, pre- and penista parties. I had no idea. NBC News had a big crew there, and you know, you hear that pop, 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 oof, we hit the ground, let's just say that, because, you know, I didn't really realize what was happening, but we had footage of what was going on. And that day, I mean, I always knew it and I always voted because it was so emphasized in my family. But for all of you listening, just a personal little story here at the top, that day changed me forever because it reminded me how lucky we are in the United States that we can argue, we can bitch and kvetch, call each other names, be furious, hate the other party, want a new party, where's the Tea Party, give me somebody who's in the middle, whatever. But we can do it. We get to argue it, right? And what I saw down there for those handful of days was enough to make me realize that it's more than important, and it's such a big right. It's such a big right in the United States to be able to do that. So, you know, this is the high wire act that we're on when it comes to voting and arguing about who's cheating, what's real, what's happening in these counties, what can we do, what else can be added, you know, whatever that is. And it's different in every state. And we know, you know, we look at Arizona with the hand recount. We look at what happened in Florida with the hanging chads. My gosh, if you go to Florida and you go to Tampa, the Tampa Museum, you see the chads. There's a bunch of the chads that were put in a bag so you can actually see them if you remember that election, right? That Junior Bush won, but how we couldn't even call the election. Or first it was called and then it wasn't called. But we don't need to revisit history. Just know that this was squashed. So the Senate didn't advance this sweeping voting rights bill that was aimed at expanding early voting and registration. But that's just part of it. There was not any debate on that. And to get any life back into that for the Democrats, they're going to have to push really, really hard because I don't see those numbers changing at all. I can't think of any scenario where it changes. None. All right. You know, the arguments over vaccines. First of all, the president wanted 70% of the country vaccinated by 4th of July. That's not happening. We're not coming close to that number. So no way, no how, too short of a time. Don't even think we'll even have 70% ever vaccinated. I'm just going to say it. Never. There's plenty of vax to go around. There's plenty of people who just don't want it. But how about these healthcare workers? There's 150 of them who didn't comply with the Houston-based hospital system with their vaccine mandate, and they either were fired or resigned more than a week after a federal judge upheld the policy. It's Houston Methodist, and it was one of the first health systems to require the coronavirus shots. And they said it. You will be terminated or will accept your resignation. They let everybody know April 1st, no fooling, this is it. You got to roll up your sleeve or get out the door. So 24,000, because it's a big system, 24,947 workers did get vaccinated by earlier deadlines. Houston Methodist suspended 178 who didn't do it by June 7th, then gave them a couple of weeks to prove they had been immunized. 25 of the employees did get vaccinated, and the others did not. Houston CEO of Methodist, Houston Methodist, said employees and physicians made their decisions for our patients, and they do that, who are always at the center of everything we do. All right, it's just a hop, a skip, and a jump to our next conversation about internet safety.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today. Everybody, time for This or That. Eric Salazar joins us. Sir Eric, how are you?
Not too bad. How are you, Kate?
I'm pretty good. I like when you say not too bad. Not too bad can be interpreted a lot of ways. Like, you know what? That's okay. I mean, I'm not, I'm not on my private jet flying to some island or something, but otherwise I'm feeling all right. Was that kind of it?
Yeah, exactly. No, can't complain. Nothing to complain about.
That's right. If you have nothing to complain about, it's a good, good day. So we're doing this or that thing, and the first one is, you know, people talk about, and I always talk about this, I like water, going to water. I like to just travel in general. But if you're going to the mountains and you had a choice between Colorado, like Vail or Aspen, perhaps, versus the Great Smoky Mountains, all expenses paid, which would you choose, this or that?
Smoky Mountains. Which ones are those?
The Great Smoky Mountains are on the East Coast, I guess is the best way to put that. And they're, what do I know about this? North Carolina, Tennessee, that's what you'd be looking at. And part of the Appalachian Mountain culture is you know, black bears and hiking and all that.
You know what? I'd be more interested in that. I feel like, I'm sort of from the bottom of the Rockies, so I kind of know what the Rockies are like. But so yeah, I'm curious to see, yeah, what the culture and environment is like over there in the South.
You know what? It's so funny that you say that because I would pick the Smoky Mountains too. I've never been there. I've had invitations to go, but for, you know, with what I'm doing for a living, I couldn't just Let me just go away for a couple of weeks and go do that Smoky Mountain thing. But there's places where you can go and just dip in and out. And I've been to Colorado, and it's amazing. You know, Vail, Aspen, all any place in Colorado, you name it. I've spent a lot of time there. But I would love to go to the Great Smoky Mountains. I mean, this long history, you know, I think 1800s, you had loggers and the conservation course, you know, rolled things out. It's a huge park. It's supposed to be just absolutely incredible when you look at the history of it. You look at the mountain people and, you know, you think of Tennessee and,
moonshine.
I don't know. Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what I think. I think, I just think it would be fascinating. And you see, if you see photos of it, I mean, again, Colorado is beautiful too, but if you see photos of those waterfalls and those historic buildings and the nature that's there, I mean, and you look at the park maps, and I was looking at one the other day, I think it'd be really fun to go into the Smoky Mountains.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe we can check it out sometime.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do a show from there.
That'd be interesting.
That would be interesting. Wait, can you hear us? Can you hear me now? Oh, well, I guess you can't. I think George would. I think George at the mothership, he does such a good job. I think he would be like, what are they doing? Why are they doing this? So, Colorado or the Smoky Mountains. Here's another one, this or that. Prime, are you a Prime member? Prime day or not, this or that? Is that a big deal to you, the two Prime days coming up?
I wish. I'm not a Prime member yet. I don't, I haven't had the funds for that, the extra funds to try that, but I plan to soon. So next year, is it a certain day, the Prime day?
Yeah, it's the 21st and 22nd.
Yeah, I'll be looking for that to that next year for sure.
Yeah, because he's smart. So they give you off on whatever groceries or whatever you order. They'll give you $15 off of this, or there's just deals that you can get on Prime days that are just a little cheaper than other days.
Are you a Prime girl?
Yes. The Hubs, are you kidding? The other, like even tonight before I went on the air, I hear the front door. Oh, there's a package that's delivered. It's like, of course it must be Amazon. And what was it? It was like some part. It was a part for the phone. It was something to attach some other different attachment for the phone. Because the thing about Bezos is Amazon is the center of everything, right? Like something breaks in your house, something happens in the car, something, like you can get so much through Amazon and the delivery is so quick. That's what happens.
Yep. That's exactly why I want it.
Yeah.
It's too convenient.
It's too convenient. Yeah. Yeah. And you get extra things with that. If you're Amazon Prime, you get the streaming service, so you get all of that. I mean, is it worth it? It's worth it if you are, you know, it's $119, I guess. So they say the Amazon Prime membership is actually worth $785 annually because of the benefits, the usefulness. If you use it, you know,
If you use it right.
If you use it right, definitely. All right, here's a funny one. I was thinking about this today because I always get asked this question, and I bet everybody listening to us gets asked this question too, except for in some places, and I'll explain in a minute. When you go to a restaurant, and now that we're going back to restaurants, when you ask for water, ice or no ice, this or that, do you get water with ice or no ice?
Yeah, with ice, yep.
Me too, but a lot of people don't drink. They just like the water without the ice.
That's unheard of for me.
It's unheard of. Not American.
That reminds me of like when I was younger and if they brought water without ice, it's like, where's the ice? Can I have some ice?
Can I have some ice? That would be me too. I have to have ice. So here's my story. This is interesting. I lived in Spain for a while, and in Spain, of course, ice is at a premium. You know, I mean, it's just not big in the culture. It's not that they don't have any ice, but they never serve drinks with ice. Never. So I would go into some place, and it was in the summertime, and I'd say, hola, I would say, Coca-Cola, mas hielo, meaning ice. And they would look at me, they'd be like, no, señorita. So I'd be like, I'll pay extra. I just want ice. Just please, please, can I have ice? And if I found a place that served ice, I was going there every day to get that ice in that glass. Because I'm just like you. I like it freezing cold. I like it cold. I don't want a room temperature Coca-Cola or water or whatever.
Yeah, do they serve you, like, cold beverages without ice, or do they just kind of, is that...
No, it's room temperature, usually. It doesn't mean that they never have cold, but, I mean, I was in the biggest city, Madrid. It's the size of New York, only it's in Spain. It's the same size, the amount of people, and it's like you could go into a Burger King, like they have Burger Kings there, and you'd get a drink, but it was rare if they had ice.
Okay. All right.
Strange.
It sounds like a European thing or something.
Yeah, it's a European thing, I think, with the whole ice deal. So very, very strange. How about this? If you have a chance, this is such a good this or that. I mean, because I know people, when they say, live your biggest dream, what is your biggest dream? So money's not a problem, and you can have either somebody clean your entire house all the time. You know, they just clean it. You don't have to touch anything from bathrooms to kitchens to anything. You can have someone do that always. That's like somebody comes in. Or you can have somebody that cooks you meals whenever you want them, and you can only do one or the other. Which would you take, this or that?
Ooh, another tough one.
It's tough.
Oh, man.
I mean, think about it. Somebody making all your meals. You don't have to be scrounging around. Oh, what do I want to eat? What do I need? Or your whole house is clean. You're not taking a broom out. You're not. It's all dirty because you haven't dusted in these places you don't even think about, you know.
Yeah, you know. All right. I'll go with the cooking. I'd rather have the cooking. Because
the cooking!
That way, you know, I don't want to be too lazy that I don't clean, you know.
All right, you don't want to be lazy, so you go with the cooking. First world problems, by the way, for everybody listening. I'm going with the cooking, too, because I think I could eat healthier, and I could, if I could request what I wanted, I think it would help all the way around, and then I wouldn't be scrounging, trying to dig up what's for dinner, and that question that my hubs and I hate to ask each other, what's for dinner? What do you feel like? All right, Eric, always fun, this or that, another one in the books.
Thank you, Kate.
Thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki. The international community continues to look for ways to push China to fully cooperate with an investigation into the origins of COVID-19. Senator Lindsey Graham believes that the U.S. needs a place to lay out the evidence that the virus leaked from a Chinese lab. The South Carolina Republican tells Fox News that Congress should allow Americans to sue China over COVID.
We need to allow the American people to go to an American court and sue the Chinese Communist Party for ruining their lives and their businesses by waiving sovereign immunity like we did after 9/11 for Saudi Arabia. So I'm going to challenge my Democratic colleagues to open the American court system up so we can get to the bottom of what happened in China. The best way to get to the truth is to have a trial over where it came from and how it got to America. And I'm convinced this came from a lab leak. I don't think it was an intentional, but it didn't come from nature.
This is USA Radio News. As negotiations over infrastructure continue, the debate over what belongs in an infrastructure bill also rages on. Tim Berg reports.
As President Biden continues to meet with Democrats and Republicans regarding ongoing negotiations regarding a bipartisan infrastructure package, Republican Congressman from Pennsylvania, Scott Perry, tells Fox Business.
We're going to be printing this money, we're going to be taxing this money, and we're going to be spending it on things like child care and other assisted care, which is all important stuff, but it's not infrastructure.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
And a federal moratorium on evictions is expected to be extended by one more month. CNBC reporting that an announcement that the moratorium will be extended to the end of July could come as soon as Wednesday. The moratorium on residential evictions was set to expire on June 30th. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
This time around, we go to Edinburgh to have a conversation with James Morrison. He's written a book called Infidels and Unreasonable Gods Do Not Necessarily Despair of Being Possessed by Unreasonable Ideas. And there's a reason for that subtitle, and you'll see as we get into this discussion with James about the book. But James, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Why, and you're a philosopher, so I can see why you would be attracted to writing the book, because you say that you have to have an understanding, a basic understanding of Western philosophers and philosophers who have shaped the world. And I agree with that, because I, especially now in my life, I've really started to dive deeper into that. So why is that?
Well, if you learn the history in England now at school, you learn about the kings and queens. That's all you learn. And there is a philosopher, a Victorian philosopher called Carlyle, who came up with the idea that you get a better sense of history from reading their autobiographies, or the biographies, rather, of famous people, of great people. I think he called them heroes. And he meant men, of course. I would take that a step further and say you've got an even better sense of history if you understand the thoughts of the philosophers, because they shape the culture we live in.
So for you in putting this together, and you wanted it to be jargon free, what was it like to pull all it together, especially when you are so steeped in the knowledge of philosophy and so many philosophers? How do you put that all into a book that people, that laymen can understand?
It took me an enormous amount of research, but very little writing. Once I had completed the research and thought them over again and again, I keep notebooks and I scribble my thoughts in. Most days I scribble something in. And when I've completed a notebook, I go through it and I copy out the best bits that I can work on into a new notebook and I start again. And it's probably taken me 20 years to actually get from the jargon of the philosophers and to ignore the endless arguments to try and prove that they're right and just say, what did they actually say? And leave it for other people to decide whether they're right or wrong.
Yeah. So tell us more about the book. And you say that philosophers seek to answer questions like, can science explain the world? Is a wise person necessarily rational? Should one aspire to authenticity? Boy, we hear that a lot these days. And is God unbelievable?
Yeah. There are basically two types of philosophers. The first one is the academic philosophers. And they're concerned with questions that no normal person would ever think of. There are paradoxes and puzzles that emerge from philosophy. A good example would be from René Descartes. That is the problem of other minds. And that is that people actually wonder whether they can be sure that other people have got a mind. And there are quite a lot of philosophers in university departments who spend the time trying to prove that other people do have minds, as if that was a problem. And obviously that doesn't trouble most people. There are other types of philosophers, you could call them existentialist philosophers, who are concerned with problems that normal people have, such as why should they get out of bed in the morning? There's Albert Camus, who was awarded a Nobel Prize for his writing, who said that the first question of philosophy was the question of suicide. Is there any reason to live? So that's the two types of philosophers.
For you, do you have a favorite philosopher?
I think my only favorite philosopher is Wittgenstein, although I recently rediscovered John Stuart Mill, who I think actually was quite a good philosopher. As a political philosopher, he was very good.
Yeah. So you're drawn to that. So tell us something about his work.
John Stuart Mill.
Yeah.
John Stuart Mill thought that the purpose of government was to create the greatest amount of happiness for the greatest amount of people. And I think that's really America. America is modernity.
You're right. Absolutely. What would you say the UK is in Scotland?
Well, UK, with its constitutional monarchy, and is not modernity. It is, obviously the Queen has no actual power, but she is the head of the state, the head of the armed forces, the head of the church. I don't know what Americans, and I don't know what most people in the world must think of Britain. It's a very peculiar country. But I was a gardener at the Buckingham Palace, I met the Queen. And I have to say that she's not really an enormously important person in my life.
Really? So what was that like? That you can't just tell us that. What was that? What was that encounter like? That's a unique position to be in.
Yeah. Well, I met in the garden. It's not a very. It's a big garden for central London, but it's a very dull garden. There's nothing to it. It's just used to host garden parties. The Queen has a little garden of her own inside Buckingham Palace. A very small little walkway, which is well cared for. It is proper garden. But I met her there a couple of times when I was working on it. And I'm not really the most deferential person, even for a Brit. So I wasn't particularly deferential.
That's a good way to put that. I like that. What do you hope that people take away? People are listening to our conversation. What do you hope they take away from wanting to read your book and then reading your book?
Yeah. Well, as I've said, I quite like Wittgenstein. And my interest in philosophy is generally ethics. That's really what I'm interested in. His view of ethics was that one should aim to please God. And I think that's really quite a vague term, because you don't really know what does please God and what doesn't. It's not that helpful a term. The expression I use in my book is that you should aim to be pleased with God. That's much more concrete. It's much more obvious what you have to do to be pleased with God. Of course, many people, certainly when I was a student and I lived with undergraduates, they are very displeased with God. They want to change the world and make it into a better place. So I suppose I think one ought to aim to be pleased with God, but I recognize that that's quite a conservative point of view. It's really saying God's world is fine now. I'm happy with it. And I don't particularly need to see anything improve.
Yeah.
That's a fair criticism.
You know, it's interesting in talking, if we dovetail into religion, you talk about this, the conflicts between Protestants and Catholics, the two different religions. And I took the show, as many people know, to Ireland and went to that line of demarcation between the Protestants and the Catholics. And at the time in Northern Ireland, there was peace. Every once in a while, something crops up. So there is something to that battle, and particularly where you're living. You know, when we think of the UK, when we think of Ireland, et cetera, and we think of times past. So what's your take on that in the book?
Well, actually, not just in that way, but I've written a novel aspiring to set in the context of the war between the IRA and the British Army. And as in all my novels, I try to be completely neutral. And there's a maxim which says that one man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist. And I think that's true. And I think the opposite is also true, that one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. So in that book, I tried to be neutral. In terms of Catholic and Protestantism, I like a lot about the Protestant religion. I think it was necessary. But I do think things like confession and things like that that you have in the Catholic Church are actually quite good institutions. But generally, I go to a Protestant church now. I don't go that often. But the conflict between the Protestants and the Catholics was really about ending the priesthood. And the point of a Protestant is that you really are your own authority on your spiritual life.
Yeah. What do modern philosophers say about living heroically? That's something else you tackle.
Well, there is now something in philosophy called postmodern philosophy. It's been around for about 30 years, and they differ from the moderns. The moderns, modernity is an experiment, the outcome of which is unpredictable, although many philosophers have venture predictions, ranging from the very optimistic to the very pessimistic. But postmodern philosophers don't agree with a collective experiment at all. What they advocate is a personal experiment in living, and generally, it's a countercultural experiment, or a deviant experiment. Heroism, as advocated today, is probably best by Albert Camus, who believes that living without having any meaning at all is heroic, because of the absurd hero, and he considers it heroic. He's the only philosopher that I know of now who really thinks you need to be heroic.
Yeah. The other thing I mentioned at the top is authenticity and aspiring. Should you aspire to authenticity? Like I said, that's a word you constantly hear these days.
Yeah. It's a very problematic term. It was largely invented by Sartre, and it was largely in the context of the repercussions, the guilt and things after the occupation of Paris. Occupied Paris, when so many Parisians, so many French people collaborated with the Nazis. And authenticity was, in that context, made a lot of sense, because the French had to deal with their guilt about that. It's gone out of fashion now that that's no longer really the case. And you don't hear anybody talk about it anymore. In France.
Yeah. Wow. Well, we could talk all day long, that's for sure. This book is fascinating. And like I said, and as you said, that this is for the layman so that you can understand it. So it's not all the jargon that flies around where you're trying hard to piece it together. You don't have to try. You can enjoy. That's for sure. James Morrison, the book is Infidels and Unreasonable Gods, subtitled Do Not Necessarily Despair of Being Possessed by Unreasonable Ideas. You can get it on Amazon. James, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Kate. We'll be right back.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Struggled with losing weight. We talk about it all the time on the show. R.C. Cooley is in our virtual green room. His book, The Art of Losing Weight, The Igen Process, A Survival Skill for the 21st Century. Wait till you hear his story and what this concept is all about and what he's created, this template that somebody can follow and how you can get the results that he got when he retired and decided to lose 50 pounds in excess weight. R.C., thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So tell me about your journey. What happened when you retired and all of a sudden you look and you decide, man, I need to do something. How do I lose weight? And what happened when you went on that quest?
Well, that wasn't the quest right there. My quest had been really throughout since I was 30 when I hit like almost 230 pounds. So I've been a yo-yo dieter, basically. That's what's it. So when I retired at like almost 240. And the first year I was hitting 250. So I started exercising, doing just a ton of things. And my wife brought home a book from the library from David Kessler called, what is it?
The End of Overeating.
The End of Overeating. So I read it and I really was struck by the fact that there is a gene that makes us do this, that there's something biological. Gaining weight is a natural process if you look at it that way. Our gene wants us to gain weight because it assures food for the future. So I figured out how can I turn this into a process instead of just wanting to lose weight? How can I figure out exactly? And I thought the only format is really something akin to a class. And that's what I did for myself. There was no action process when I lost weight. What I did is I just followed a lot of this understanding that it's our natural body that makes us do these things. So I just figured out, what am I doing? How much food am I putting in my body? So it became, I kind of turned a complex problem that says, how do I change my behavior with all of the brain power behind it, down to, instead of being a complex problem, like how do I raise a child, I change it to a simple problem, which is, how do I lower the amount that I eat? That became my issue. And when I looked at it from that way, it became very simple. Well, how much do you eat? And make some strategic attempts at lowering it. It's kind of like a guerrilla little war. You do little things and they add up over time. So I did that and I lost a lot of weight compared to when I was doing running, exercise, and watching what I ate and everything. I just watched amounts. So I figured, let me put this into a method. I mean, not a method, a process. If you do this, then this happens, then you do this, then that happens, then you do this. And if this happens, you don't want it to go back. So it's a difference between teaching somebody a method of losing weight, which I can teach you how to play the violin, but that doesn't guarantee you're going to be a great violin player, rather than put them through a process that I can control week to week through my weekly online class, which is, how much do you weigh today? Did we do what we said last week? What was the problems? Okay, think of it this way now, or try it this way. And so it's a constant keeping the focus on the weight. I don't keep the focus on the food, on the weight. The weight determines, you know, the food situation. But, you know, Kate, if I can say, I'm not, please ask me any questions and interrupt me. I will get on my soapbox and keep going. But I one thing that bothers me about the current weight loss programs is they all, well, not that they all, but they discourage weighing yourself. They say, don't weigh yourself. You're going to get obsessed and then you're going to get it. My God, let me tell you what, weight is what you are trying to change. Why not know what your weight is doing all the time to what you are doing, to what you are changing? It's pretty much like a diabetic. If a diabetic does not check the sugar every couple of weeks, he checks his sugar every single day because the object is the sugar should go down. In this case, is the weight should go down. So if you're doing things that are not bringing your weight down, then you want to know right away. You don't want to know 2 months later. So this is why on my process, all you do is weigh yourself pretty much every day, mm-hmm. along with the things of the class. And so,
let me stop you there.
Please.
So one of the things you talked about is the amount that you eat, because so that's part of it. Definitely the weighing, because then you could see what you did. So what did you do? Like, there was just certain foods. Did you figure that out as that you were moving along of the amount that you were eating, that there were foods that were better that you could eat more of? Or how did that work? Or what do you tell people?
Well, yes, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. There are some pretty much becoming, understanding the IGEN process means becoming an expert in the food that you eat. You have to understand what it is that you're eating, what it does. You don't have to be a molecular scientist and know that. You just need to know that this is carbs, but it's bread. Well, it's bread are carbs, but this is carbs too, as tortillas. That's carbs too, candy. And so you separate the world into very simple, it's black or white. Is it carbs or is it not carbs? And that's one thing you learn. So the other thing is you learn to read ingredients because you want to know how much sugar there are in things. So this is not, the thing is to understand how we put weight on. And that's what I did. All I did was read and see. And and understand what, that's why David Kessler's book was so instrumental. You know, he makes the scientific case for reducing what you eat. I'm trying to make the behavioral case. What do you have to do? Nothing. The same thing that you do. You eat, you don't eat, you go for walks, you don't go for walks. Nothing changes if you want to lose weight. You don't have to start exercise. As a matter of fact, for people who can't exercise, this is an excellent method because it controls your weight. But when we talk about weight, it seems like we're talking about something stable.
Yeah.
It is not stable, and that's the other issue and pretty much the tripping point for people who go on these yo-yo diets or go on diets and don't understand it, that's where they die because they don't understand what the body is doing in terms of weight and how yeah. it's processing the food.
Right.
So
right.
That's what we learn about each other.
Yeah. So, Key, I agree with you about the – it's funny. You're right. So many programs, they tell you not to get weight, and then they say, oh, it can fluctuate. But I think there is something about getting weight every day, and obviously that worked for you. There's no question about it. Give us just a couple of quick tips, and then, of course, like you said, you did go through the class, and then you know daily what to do. And if somebody wants to sign up for your class, how do they do that?
Oh, they would just, in the book, there's a phone number. You can give it away. It's my phone number, if you want to. My mission is to have an IGN process program or a class in every community, in corporate, buildings, because you don't need anything special. You need food. You don't need, exercise equipment. You just need to understand what you're doing on a day to day, hour to hour basis. But a tip for people: weight is not stable. When a person says, oh, I weigh 150 pounds because they weigh 150 pounds at 8 o'clock in the morning, and next day at 8 o'clock in the morning they weigh 150 pounds again, that weight has not been 150 pounds for the whole day. It's gone up to whatever it's gone up to. It's gone up maybe 10 pounds. But then it reduces itself during the whole day by that same amount. And by the end of the morning, you're again at the same weight. But that's yeah. because you didn't eat for 8 hours.
Right.
And your body goes back to normal. So don't look at your weight as something that, oh, this is how much you can weigh yourself day to day, but weigh yourself at night. There's a lot more benefits, and we talk about it in the class.
Mm,
so,
okay.
So, it's just something
night.
That is not about losing weight. It's about
right.
losing, and then it's about maintaining, and that is
that's the key,
maintaining. And my program is all about the maintenance. The weight loss is a few days. It's the maintenance that lasts, you know, two, three weeks.
Yeah, or
yeah.
go beyond.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. R.C. Cooley, The Art of Losing Weight, The iGym Process, A Survival Skill for the 21st Century. Get the book on Amazon. Thank you so much for coming on.
Awesome. Thank you.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
GraveSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.